That verse said, do not be conformed by the world, but transformed by Jesus. It's been a heavy week. I'm not going to pull any punches and say it was an okay week. There was a lot going on. There was a lot going on. And today we're going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about it in science class. As part three of our series, Back to School, we're talking about science today. How many of you guys liked science class? All right, I see a couple. Yeah, there's a couple. There's some good hands up there. I will say science was probably one of my favorite classes, especially when I was little, you know, back in like the late 70s, early 80s, because there was so much going on with NASA. Star Wars was just in the movie theaters, and I was kind of a science nerd. Not that I was smart, I just thought I knew everything. And I remember one day, this was back when the space shuttle was a new thing, my mom came to me, and she had this phone number written down on a little piece of paper, and she handed it to me and said, hey, I got this number where if you call it on the phone, you can listen to NASA talk to the astronauts during the flight mission of which, I don't remember which space shuttle it was, but you could actually hear it, and I jumped on that. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Now, I was about 10 years old at the time, and quite honestly, if I remember correctly, I thought it was going to be a recording of what they had said and that it would be over after a couple minutes. But I remember sitting there on the phone, and it went on, and it went on, and it went on. Turns out it was an actual live communication back and forth, and I was on there for a couple hours. What I did not know is that it was a 1-900 number. If you remember those, they were paid. I had to pay per minute for this phone call. Now, in my defense, I wish she was here today. In my defense, I did not know that at 10 years old. I don't even know if my mom knew that when she gave me the number, because it would have been very new back then. 1-900 numbers were not a common thing back then. But I remember, like, I came out on the phone. I said, man, this is a really long recording. And then my mom's like, well, hang up. It's a live thing. You know, like, I don't know if she knew at the time or not, but we had a 300-some-odd dollar phone bill, which may not seem like much now, but back in 1979, my parents were going to reach out and touch someone because that was not common. Yeah, I honestly remember, not that I got in trouble, but I remember being very, very scared for what I had done. But again, technology advances, and now we know stuff. But E equals MC squared is going to be the focus of our science lesson today. How many know what E equals MC squared is? What is this? Okay, good. Did you guys get that? Me neither. No. He's got it right, though, because, again, I had to write it down because I didn't want to get it right, but he's got it. What I have written down here is energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, which is basically saying there's a relationship between mass and energy. Is that right? Okay. Now, mass, being someone who's relearning these things, I always thought of mass as weight. You know, like the mass of this Bible is the weight of the Bible, but it's not. It's actually everything it's made of, correct? Okay. And is that why, like, if you drop a pound of feathers and a pound of rocks, the rocks will drop quicker than the feathers? Is that accurate to use as a comparison? Resistance. All right. Wow, I'm learning a lot today. So, scientists, well, this was actually Einstein, if I'm correct, came up with E equals MC squared, where it talks about the relationship between mass and energy. And energy is the ability to, like, work or do stuff. Do you ever have a day you don't have any energy? That's a term that I believe came from not having the energy to move. But science also says that energy is transferable, correct? All right, he's nodding his head back there. I'm doing all right. Energy is transformable as well. So it can be transferred from object to object and be transformed from object to object. And that the smallest matter can be transformed into huge amounts of energy. And that's the basis, again, if I'm understanding this correctly, for what's called the Big Bang Theory. I'm sure we've all heard the Big Bang Theory, not the TV show, but there's like a theory that everything in the universe was created through a Big Bang that happened somewhere in space and time. And scientists use this to try to disprove God. The theory is based on that at some point in the universe was a concentrated piece of energy, and it expanded rapidly and simultaneously everywhere. So what the scientists are saying is there was this little ball of energy. I don't know if it was really that big or not, but there's a ball of energy somewhere. They don't explain like where it really came from, or they do. They try to explain it, but I don't get it. Do you understand it, Moises? Okay. But there is this little ball of energy, and it exploded, which I think is where the bang came from. And in that moment that it exploded, everything came into existence instantaneously, almost as if everything was instantaneously spoken into creation. But they leave that part out. They don't really explain how that could happen out of nothing. They have theories that they try to push, but what I'm talking about is good, solid truth. That everything in the world was created in a split second. Not saying that E equals MC squared, the theory is wrong, but what I'm saying is when that energy blew up was when God said, let there be light. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the creation. We're going to start right at the beginning, Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good. In that split second, God created light. And God saw it was good. Keep an eye out for those words. And then God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So now I'm going to ask you this. God and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And once again, God saw that and he said, it was good. And then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seeds, and the fruit trees that yield the fruit according to its kind. The apple tree is going to make apples. The grapevine is going to make grapes. Whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs that yield seeds according to its kind. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. This little part in the Bible blows me away. It might not seem like much, but look at what it's saying. It's saying the apple tree is going to grow, and it's going to grow apples, and inside that apple is a seed, and that seed's going to drop to the earth. And what's going to happen? It's going to grow another tree, and that tree is going to grow apples, and that an apple is going to fall to the ground. You saw my pumpkin patch? That was all by accident on my part, but not God's part. This was all so intentional. This was so well designed. The scientists cannot explain what the world was like before this Big Bang theory that they talk about. But I can say before God spoke existence into action, he's sitting there planning all this out. Think about it. This was not a mistake. Everything that was created was good, had purpose, and had a plan to multiply. So now check this out. The next day, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be the signs and the seasons for days and years. All part of God's plan. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Spoken into existence. God made two great lights. The lesser light to rule the night, and he made, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, the sun and the moon. And again, when you look up at the darkness of the skies, it is not completely dark. You have the light of the stars and the moon. God sent them the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So God put all these beautiful things in the sky, but those beautiful things had a purpose. The sun's purpose, to grow the seeds that were created, that dropped to the earth from the apple tree or from the herbs or even to grow the grass. For those of us that have gardens or even grass in our yards, we know you need the sunlight in order to grow things. The light is needed for things to grow into maturity and to multiply. Everything here is still intentional. Now, here's where it gets really good. And then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so, again, spoken into existence. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Look at all this good happening. And then God said, let us make man in our own image. Plural. According to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and every other living thing that moves on the earth. God created us, and he gave us dominion over everything. Many times, men, women, we look at that responsibility given to us, and we abuse it. We see that in our world around us. We see a world that conformed to something other than what it was created for. It was not transformed by Jesus Christ as it should have been. And that is the hard part. Because everything in this book is so intentional. Everything in this book was meant for a purpose. So why do we ever doubt that each one of us sitting here today was here for a purpose? Was here for a reason and not an accident. So many times people take their own lives because they feel they are unimportant. So many people hurt others because they see no value in their life over their own want or need for power. It was a heavy week. 9/11. Charlie Kirk. The Ukrainian girl on the train. All lives that were taken meaninglessly. Because a person felt they had dominion over God's power. That's the mistake that a lot of people feel in their hearts, is that they're not worthy. The person across from them have no value. And it's for them to take their life. It's not. It is not. Because when God created these things, even going back to when he's breaking things up into seasons, it was all for a purpose. When he created flowers, he created flowers for purpose. Grass that grows is for purpose. Because he knew he was going to create animals. And what do the animals eat? The grass. He created trees with fruit on them for man to eat, to nourish his body. What do they say when they say you got to eat healthy? Eat more fruits and vegetables. That's because God created them to be good for you. When you're thirsty, you drink the water that he pulled from the firmament. When God created fish, he didn't put them in the desert. He put them in the water because fish can breathe underwater. He didn't take a porcupine and put a porcupine in the ocean because he would die. No scientist can tell me that is any different. I know they talk about evolution. So if I took 10 porcupines and dumped them out of a boat into the ocean, are they going to grow gills? They're going to die. And they're going to grow extinct. And then we have no more porcupines. Everything that God does is so intentional for us. It should make you smile. But does it? As we go on, it says, God says to his creation, "See, I have given you herb that yields seeds, which in one of the faces of which on all the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds, for it shall be your food." All this that was created before man was created for man. Also, to every beast of the earth and every bird of the air and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. So what he's saying there is the grass is there for the cows to eat. What may not be important to you could keep that lamb alive because he eats the weeds. Or the birds, you'll eat the berries. All for a purpose. And it was so. And when God saw everything that he had made, and he said, it was very good. Very good. When he was done with creation, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Creation was very good. What happened? What happened to very good? A lot of people will say it was Satan. Satan brought it into the world. Is Satan that powerful that he can undo creation? Does Satan have that power? No. And the reason I bring that up is because of the way that people feel sometimes. This week, as I'm watching all the things going on around me, not only in the news, but in my own personal life, I think, why? What's the point in all of this? The classic question, why does God let bad things happen? But those questions bring up a much larger point. By us questioning these things and their purpose, are we saying that creation was useless? Because that's what we're conveying as this world asks more about why things are happening. And what's the point? What's the point of prayer? When our kids are getting shot in school. What's the point of being a Christian if someone's just going to gun you down? The point is in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The world changed from creation. The unfortunate part, we blame the devil, we blame those around it, but it really falls on us. Genesis 2:25 was the last scripture written before Satan came onto the scene. And it said about Adam and Eve, they were both naked. The man and his wife being a key word there, and were not ashamed. We're not ashamed. Are we ashamed of the miracles of God? Are we ashamed of creation? Are we ashamed of the resurrection? We need to take this world back from those who are. We need to bring this world back to its feet and praise the Lord. We need to bring the Bible back to our kids and stop listening to those people who are ashamed of the cross. Ashamed to believe a God spoke everything into existence in a single moment. Ironically enough, exactly what E equals MC squared is explaining, but with a different definition. We talked about Charlie Kirk today, in one of Charlie Kirk's sessions that he had at a college campus. Somebody challenged him on his belief about God. And Charlie's answer was, the two greatest miracles in history are the creation of the universe and the resurrection of Jesus Christ following his crucifixion. He said, these two events are the foundation to faith, the foundation for Christianity. And because these two things happened, he didn't say if these two things happened, because these two things happened, anything is possible. Anything is possible. In Romans 8:18, it says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. For the expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it to hope. Because the creation itself also was delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. What does it mean to be liberated? To be set free. What it is saying here, yes, creation was tarnished by sin. What they're saying here is if we don't hold on to hope, creation was for nothing. Too many things have happened to say this was by accident. Too many things have happened to say this is all mythology. And too many things have happened for us to give up not only on Jesus Christ, the creation, but to give up on our own faith. E equals MC squared describes creation to a T. Not science's definition of it, though. God's creation. Not science's creation. Before we come to Christ, we may feel like a mass. heavily burdened. But when God's power touches us, we are transformed into something greater. We cannot live in the muck of sin and say we were not created properly. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Transformation. It may not feel like you're being transformed because we want it at the speed of light. But we have to respect God's timing. Because this is God's creation, not ours, not science's. It belongs to Him. As we said earlier, energy is neither created nor destroyed. God's love and grace are also like that. God's grace and eternal have been forever. It wasn't God spoke into existence grace. God didn't spoke into existence love. It has always been and it always will be. But it can be transformed into your life, poured out from the cross that Jesus died on through His resurrection. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We all know the words. But His Son was sent into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him may be saved. He did not come to condemn the world. He came so that the world could be transformed and save us all. Miracles come from God. Miracles break the boundaries of science. And that's how we know God is good. He changes things for His love for us. Science is a tool. But God is the Creator. Let's pray.